Another edition of Beyond the Huddle is coming your way.
Into the Beyond the Huddle podcast with me, your host, Louis Deeby, along with Brendan Harrington, Dave Crescenti, and Jordan Hanskin. What's going on, boys?
Nothing much, but I'm here enjoying my day.
Hanskin, how you doing?
Just the enthusiasm to the in response to that question was just fantastic.
We got a great bunch of attitudes here, so we're going to kick into week 7. We're going to get into our interview exclusive with Eagles' new offensive guard, Julian Vandervelde, in a short amount of time. So let's talk about the Jets-Patriots. Thriller yesterday, a win for the Patriots, 27-25. A last-second field goal attempt by Nick Foles was blocked by the New England Patriots to put them at 5-2 and first in the AFC East. Reactions, Brendan.
A little bit of controversy on that last kick, if you didn't see that.
With the Patriots getting helped by the ref?
Yep. Hightower, I think it was. Linebacker was lined up with the long snapper, and the ref told him to move to the side. And a ref is not supposed to tell somebody to not commit a foul. So that is a wrongdoing for the ref.
What do you think about Geno Smith?
Geno Smith played better than expected. I mean, he's playing against a defense that played fantastic against the Bills for the most part. And the run game really ran right down the Patriots' throats, and Geno Smith did not turn the ball over. Geno Smith had a decent game, including that great drive at the end to try to get that game winner from Nick Folk, but it was blocked. So Geno Smith impressed me yesterday, even though they fell to 1-6.
Dave, what do you think about this performance?
Yeah, about Geno Smith, I'm a big fan of Geno Smith. Here's the question, though. Do you guys see Geno Smith as the Jets' starting quarterback in, say, 5 years?
I like it. Hanskin, what do you think?
Well, I just think that the Jets really gave all they had into that game. I think that it was very clear that this was like the final chance to save their season. And even with that, they weren't able to win. So I think it goes to show that New England is just still way far better than the Jets are. And I mean, Geno did play well. I was very impressed with Geno last night, though, to answer your question earlier.
Do you think Geno's the face of the franchise still, like Dave asked, for the next 5 years?
I would say that. I would say that they're not going to give up on him yet. I think he shows a lot of promise.
They're 1-6.
Still.
And they have a pretty decent defense.
I look at his body of work. He does not have many weapons to use.
Well, okay, yeah. But
sure, he does.
I mean, if I were to tell you, you would ask me this question at the beginning of the season, I would say absolutely, because I thought Geno was going to be an underrated story this year, but he's still making the costly turnovers that kill teams. He's shown some good things, which I've always seen in him, but the whole weapons thing I think is a bunch of rubbish, because when you look at if a good quarterback will make weapons out of what they have, and Eric Decker's been a very reliable receiver this year. Jeremy Curley's been a very underrated slot guy, and then they struggle on the other outside with David Nelson and a rotation there. A good run game. Chris Ivory had a really good game. Honestly, I think it's time to make some major adjustments in New York. I think that you should see Rex Ryan be gone at the end of this year. I think you should get a new quarterback. I think Izik deserves a lot of the blame for what's been happening, because he froze up during the offseason, refused to spend the money. They got a lot of salary cap left. Rex Ryan really wanted one of the corners, Walter Thurman, Dominic Rogers Cromartie, go sign someone. He settled, he waited, and he got Dimitri Patterson, and look how that turned out.
They have $20 million still in cap space, and they haven't used any of it.
Right.
They need a quarterback.
It's not defensively. They need weaponry offensively.
Their secondary is pathetic.
Yeah, their defense has been terrible this year.
Against their own.
Well, then I think you got to look to Rex for that. I think I agree with you. Rex should be gone.
I think he should be fired.
Just based on the fact that their defense hasn't improved.
Rex Ryan just signed a 3-year extension. They're not going to fire him.
Essentially inherited as a head coach.
But this is my thing is, of course they're going to be really good with the run. They have Sheldon Richardson and Muhammad Wilkerson. They are terrible against covering the tight end. Who is their starting middle linebacker?
David Harris.
David Harris. Okay, he's good. They're worst right now when covering tight ends. So what does that say too? This
middle
Rex
linebacker
Ryan
doesn't cover tight ends.
Job.
In a 3 or in a 4-3.
Oh really? Who does?
The outside linebackers or the safeties or the
or the
another corner?
They're all stand-ups. It's a 4-3.
Yeah.
So all three linebackers.
No, the middle linebacker
up, so
plays zone in.
Either way, I'm just talking in general the entirety of the defense except for the two defensive tackles. Jeez, oh my gosh. Here on the Beyond the Huddle podcast, we have some breaking news from around the NFL. Percy Harvin, the Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, has been traded to the New York Jets for a mid-round conditional pick. Reports right now from the NFL. So that's pretty huge. Reactions. How about Hanskin first? You just got this news.
All right. I'll
I'm kind of surprised. I did not expect that coming. Seems like a selling move by Seattle. I mean, getting.
All right, so Dave, what do you think about this trade? Because this is huge news for the New York Jets.
You know, I like the move for the Jets. You guys were just saying a couple minutes ago that they need to step up and make some moves, and this is a big move, helping out Geno Smith's weapons, as you guys just were talking about. So I like the move for the Jets. But for the Seahawks, I mean, it basically just says that they are pretty comfortable with the receivers they have.
I definitely agree. Brennan, what do you think?
The deal makes absolutely no sense for both sides. I mean,
for both sides?
Yeah. I think this is Percy Harvin's last year on his contract.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jets are 1-6. They just traded away a draft pick for somebody to play for them this year and maybe re-sign they're lucky. So,
well, you don't know.
The Seahawks are getting rid of their only weapon on offense besides Marshawn Lynch. And now Marshawn Lynch is going to be nothing. It's because the
nothing because of
well the passing
Harvin?
Game opens up the rushing the running game. And
I bet you know, Seattle. I'm pretty. I believe that
Seattle's best
game
weapon
opens
right
up
now.
Their pass game.
Yeah,
there's no way Seattle's passing game allows the running game to be what it is. There's
it
no
opens
way.
Up the, everybody's re-
the
passing
Seahawks
game
won
opens
the Super
up.
Bowl without Percy Harvin last year. Basically.
Right.
Yeah, but
and then
they had their number one receiver, Golden Tate, still.
But Golden Tate only had 800 yards receiving last year.
That was their number one receiver.
That's pretty bad for a number one receiver.
That's almost 1,000 yards. 200.
Okay. Anyway, listen to this though, because you figure what this is with from the Seahawks perspective. Paul Richardson. This is a guy that no one has talked about. He's a speedy receiver that they drafted in the second round for a reason. I don't know if they've. I don't know what this situation is with Percy Harvin. Brennan's probably right about the contract. I honestly think that they feel they don't need him. I don't know if they don't think they're not going to re-sign him, but Jermaine Kearse and Doug Baldwin, I'm not sure how great of a 1-2 punch that is. Maybe obviously they believe in them, but from the Jets' perspective, I mean, I don't really understand this. If they're re-signing him, then that makes sense for the future, but they're 1-6. I don't know why you're buying a player right now. You can't salvage your season, and you're giving away a mid-round pick. This is a typical NFL trade, but...
It doesn't make any sense.
I'm sure they're gonna bring Percy on for another year.
Yeah, there's no way that they know that they're just gonna go into the offseason with
right.
Percy Harvin going into the free agency.
That's true. I mean, I don't know. I think if they would have did this move earlier, I mean, this would be huge because this is a good receiving core now. You got Percy Harvin, Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley. Am I missing anybody?
TJ Graham.
I feel like I'm missing someone, but I'm not.
The handless TJ Graham.
Jeff Cumberland.
Jason Morrow. The Red
Raider. But
you did not miss TJ Graham. TJ Graham is awful.
Oh, never mind. Percy Harvin has 5 more years left on his contract.
Okay, so that's huge. That's a big factor. That's a huge difference.
A complete difference than a 1 year. Seller move.
But listen to the numbers that the Jets are paying him. The Jets probably won't pay for him this year, but next year they'll pay him $10.5 million.
Oh my god! But this might pay off because this might really help Geno progress. Because Geno's kind of a quarterback that he takes shots downfield, but he's more of a dink and dunk kind of guy. And I think Percy Harvin can actually thrive in the system. I mean, look how good Jeremy Curley's been doing in the slot. take Percy Harvin in that role, I think this is pretty huge, and I think this might. I don't think this is going to save Rex Ryan's job, but this could really help Geno Smith out for the future. Hans, can you agree?
I think so. I mean, Percy's good with the classic like wide receiver screen, the inside screens, getting the slants. Geno, it'll make Geno be able to hit easy throws to get like 10 yards, 10 to 15. And I'm excited to see Percy play for the Jets this year.
It's pretty huge.
This is probably, if you look at the scoreboard from every game, this is probably one of the best 1-6 teams in NFL history. They almost beat the Packers. They were a field goal away from being the Patriots. They played close with the Lions.
And close with the Broncos.
This isn't even that bad of a football team. Are they doing this for now? Maybe to squeeze in with a 9-7 record?
I don't think so.
Jets go 8-2.
There's no way. I'm sorry, but they have had a really tough.
If they go 8-2, then they're still 8-8, and they're still like 8-8, and not going to make the playoffs. So.
Some people some Jets players have complained about the strength of schedule because they played the Patriots now. They've played the Denver Broncos, the Green Bay Packers.
The reasons for this.
They played the Raiders, which is their only win. So this has been a very tough schedule. Honestly, I think they should have beat the Packers. This team, I definitely agree. This team's better than 1-6, and they're blocked field goal away from yesterday from taking down the first place Patriots. So this is huge, and the one very few big trades around the NFL per year.
They'll probably be a 1-6 favorite against Buffalo next week, against most likely a 4-3 team. They'll probably be the favorite.
What?
In New York, they'll probably be the favorite.
Not the favorite in that game.
They probably will.
They will not.
If the Bills beat the Vikings, depending on how badly they beat them, I'm pretty sure that after this move, the Jets will be the favorite.
The Bills will be like a 2-3 point favorite.
I don't know. Yeah.
There's no way Vegas votes Jets being favorite in that game.
Yeah. How do you not know the spread, Brent? Come on, get with it.
I don't know. The Bills seem to not be very good at. No, I'm getting into the Bills.
Percy
Harvin dominates everyone, and the Bills' secondary.
You guys
want
to move on to buy or sell?
Is this boring you, Hanskin? We apologize.
The Seahawks just got rid of 75% of their offense. It doesn't make any sense.
It does.
They're a Super Bowl contender, and they just got rid of one of their best players.
They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league, though.
No,
how
not.
Do we know that?
It's a third
he doesn't
pick.
Throw the football barely ever. Yeah. Last week he had 126 yards receiving.
He runs around with a great offensive line. He runs around and takes 10 seconds to find a wide open receiver and lobs it to him. He's not a good quarterback.
If you're relying on him to be your future, what are you doing right now? What are you trying to build around? Do you honestly believe Doug Baldwin and Jermaine Kearse is your core receiver?
And something Norwood will be your fourth guy?
Well, no, because you have Lockett and Lochte, and you have Paul.
Yeah, Ricardo Lockett.
Yeah.
Scrub? Are you kidding me?
Jeez.
Dave, do you honestly? What does this mean for Russell Wilson? Like, what is your honest opinion about Russell? Like, because Russell Wilson hasn't really, we haven't gotten an opportunity to see what he can do with a full workload like Luck.
Well, first off, do you really think the Seahawks are like, well, we have all these scrub receivers and this good receiver, so let's just get rid of our good receiver. They obviously like who they have, they feel comfortable with the receivers. Mm-hmm. The main part, like, their defense is going to keep them in. They don't have to put up that many points to win it. And their running game is strong.
Right.
The passing game doesn't have to be very strong for them to keep winning games.
The running game's going to go down now, though. No question about it.
I beg to differ.
Why would the running game go down because of a Percy Harvin?
Because they're going to rely on giving Marshawn Lynch the ball 30 times a game.
They've already been doing that without Percy
Harvin.
Yeah,
they've already been doing that anyway, and they've been limiting their passing anyway.
Yeah, but
Percy Harvin's not even their leading receiver. So
yeah, but Percy Harvin
was making a huge impact on Marshawn Lynch.
He was getting rushes. He was doing everything for them. He was punt returner, kick returner.
Just because he does it a couple times a game doesn't mean that's a major part.
You're saying that since Percy Harvin won't be out there, they're just gonna leave people open because they're not good.
Their offense is gonna be
no.
Their offense is gonna be exactly the same.
No, Percy Harvin kept them
change.
Honest. Now they're gonna have one-on-one cover.
Well, they're gonna stop doing jet sweeps.
They're gonna put eight.
They're gonna stop doing jet sweeps. But why not use someone like Paul Richardson, who's just as fast? They compared him to DeSean Jackson in the draft.
Percy Harvin kept the opposing defenses honest, and now every team's going to put 8 guys in the box and they're going to shut down Marshawn Lynch. I could
they do
I'll
that
put
anyway.
All my money on it.
They do that anyway.
They do not put 8 guys in the box.
With Percy Harvin, the Seahawks weren't some dominating passing offense. They were
Percy Harvin
able to shreds, and he's going to do that anyway.
Percy Harvin
does not impact Marshawn Lynch that much.
Yes, he does. Percy Harvin pretty much probably one of the most dynamic players in the NFL right now.
So
he kept
spread
it
out wide. He had to do with Marshawn Lynch getting all the work that
he kept
did.
The other defenses honest. Right, and
so
that
what about
Marshawn Lynch
what about last year when he tore it up when Percy Harvin wasn't there? Yeah.
Marshawn Lynch tore it up last year.
Yes.
But they also had Golden
Tate. I think
how many receivers
Percy
did
Harvin
this year?
Is only able to succeed as much as the ball is able to get to him.
Right.
And he doesn't make his own. The plays that Percy Harvin succeeds on are the plays that are specifically designed for him. Percy Harvin can't make a play out of just a regular passing attack. He's not going to be able to run a post and be really successful with that.
All right. So early in the season, he was their whole offense. In the first 2-3 games, he was their whole entire offense.
What about Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah,
Marshawn
the first
Lynch
three games, Lynch scored 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah. I'm talking about.
But you're not right.
Oh my gosh! I can score a touchdown at the 1 yard line. I'm talking about their offense.
His touchdowns were not on the 1 yard line. Most of them were from past 20 yards.
I would like to see that most of his touchdowns were past 20 yards.
Touchdowns in the first 3 weeks. He had one a couple yard run. Then he had a 15 yard run. I don't know about his other. But so basically, you're saying it's Chris Ivory time, right? Up goes the Jets running backs because Percy Harvin's now on the Jets.
What? No, I'm saying
said.
Chris
you
Ivory's
said.
Already been on
yeah,
all
now
year.
He's gonna be better.
All right, I will bet you $10 that Marshawn Lynch's numbers go down.
I take right, that.
Fine.
I take that bet any right. day of the week.
Because he had a bad game last week, so if he had more than 70 rushing
yards,
yeah,
game,
but
then this is the thing. This is such a flawed bet because if no matter what, if Marshawn Lynch is doing bad, oh, it's because Percy Harvin's gone.
Marshawn Lynch is gonna get 10 more. Marshawn Lynch is going to get 10 more touches every game, and he's
going
to get 20 less yards every game now.
You're going with a stupid narrative that all the cliche Chris Collins would say that, oh, you need the passing game to set up the run game. No, false. The Seahawks offense lives
the opposite.
Yes.
By Percy Harvin.
The run game
no,
lives,
they don't.
No,
they
it
went
didn't,
to the
because
Super Bowl
it didn't last
them.
Year, and
right,
it hasn't
we'll
been
see.
This year.
We'll see. Let's move on to something else.
This is such a terrible argument.
I know it is. This is horrible.
All right, so Dave left the building. We're going to move on to a new topic called buy or sell. We're gonna talk about first the Cowboys running back DeMarco Murray. We'll start off with Hanskin. You like your Dallas Cowboys. Is he buying or selling? Buy or sell DeMarco Murray breaking Dickerson's record.
This was really tough for me. I want to say yes, but I feel like his touches are going to have to lower. He's going to have to lower the amount of touches.
Okay, we have a special guest in for Dave. We have Patrick Gavigan. Patrick, what's going on?
Hey, what's up?
Sweet.
I was waiting for Hanson's reaction. Yeah, we just broke the news. We were talking about it. PG, what's your reaction to Percy Harvin being a Jet?
It's going to affect the Jets' strategy from now on with their game plan. Maybe they switch quarterbacks from Geno Smith to Michael Vick just to get him the ball.
You think so?
Yes.
Whoa, no way.
They're going to give him the ball all the time. He's going to be the whole offense like he was for
Michael
the Seahawks
Vick
early
ran?
In the season.
Did you see the one play that Michael Vick ran last night?
Yeah, he got wrecked.
Where it was literally designed to run off the tackle. They don't even want this dude throwing at all.
They put him in and he runs it right away for right. one play, and then Geno Smith comes back.
He starts running around the corner and gets drilled.
So we're talking DeMarco Murray. Brennan. Do you think that DeMarco Murray, you buying or selling that he could break Eric Dickerson's rushing record this year?
No, please, no. He's not. Their offensive line is good, and he's a good running back, but I can't see that happening. What is his rushing record? 2,000?
2,000, Hanskin, do you know?
2,100 something?
That's
Adrian Peterson had one of the best seasons for running back ever, and he didn't even break it. So I can't see DeMarco Murray breaking it, but he's having a fantastic
season.
DeMarco's
got
so far.
What, 720?
I think it's 785.
Yeah. PG's our stat guy.
785. He's got how many games left? 10?
Yeah.
And he needs to get 1,400. 1,300. The exact number is 2,105.
Yeah, in the last 10 games of the season. I can't see that.
He would have to average what, 140-ish, 130-ish?
I think
he could do it now.
He could break it.
I don't think he can stay healthy the entire year, honestly.
I think he'll break it with rushing and receiving counting, but that doesn't really matter.
That doesn't matter much.
That's not a thing.
Yeah.
I think he could break that, though.
PG, do you think he could break it?
I think he'll come close, almost like Adrian Peterson, but it won't happen. It's going to be another one of those close calls.
He's going to need to get garbage nut touches, and he's going to need to, the Cowboys are going to need to keep winning in order for him to be able to do this.
Yes, and I was watching NFL Live today, and they said the owner actually said that he was counting the roses already, so.
To me, I think this is a much more of a credit to the offensive line. While I'm missing his name, Tyrone Smith? Tyrone Smith, the left tackle. I mean, you got Zach Martin you drafted this year. Travis Frederick, Wisconsin.
The Badger.
So, I think that's a great accomplishment for the offensive line as well. I think they're playing really well. But I'm going to sell that he's going to break Dickerson's record.
Yeah,
buy or sell, Hanskin. Antonio Brown is the best wide receiver in the NFL today.
I'm going to also sell this one. I would have to go with either Demaryius Thomas or I still think a healthy Calvin Johnson is still one of the most dominant players in the league. I think Antonio Brown he's just been fortunate enough that he is, like, besides Le'Veon Bell, he is the Steelers' offensive weapon. And I just think that Demaryius Thomas and Calvin, you see Calvin's just, like, physical, like, status, how big he is, and how, like, we've all seen what Calvin Johnson can do. And Demaryius Thomas, most of his stuff comes after yards after catch, which I think is really says something about him as just a pure athlete. And I think I would also think Demaryius is better than Antonio Brown.
PG, what do you think?
I think I'm going to sell as well. I think you left one man off that list, and I think he's been the best wide receiver this year so far, Julio Jones.
Ooh, okay.
He's caught a lot more passes than probably most. Yeah. And he's scored a lot of touchdowns more than Antonio Brown, and he's getting the yardage.
Right, and the whole concept that him and Roddy White have been I think this is Julio. Julio is the guy. Now, Roddy White, to me, has significantly dropped off his play so far this year.
Roddy's had injury problems, too, this year. So.
Exactly. I'm selling this as well. I definitely agree with Hanskin. If we can see a healthy Calvin Johnson again, there's nothing like him in the NFL right now, but we got to see him healthy. As of right now, it's what have you done for me lately, and Antonio Brown has been stellar. But honestly, look at Jordy Nelson. He's not getting nearly the amount of credit some of these other flashy receivers are. He leads the NFL in receptions.
Yeah.
He's been lighting it up, and Aaron Rodgers goes to him. So that's a system that you can really
I agree with you with that. Also, Jordy Nelson is a lot flashier than people give him credit for. He gets a lot of big plays.
Yeah. you brought me into that. I was thinking Jordy Nelson too. Jordy, I could put like five guys over Antonio Brown. Wait, why ask about Jordy Brown or Antonio Brown?
The NFL in receiving.
Right? Oh yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I would probably put Jordy Nelson, Calvin Johnson.
It's just yardage.
I would probably put AJ Green, Calvin Johnson, Jordy Nelson, and probably a couple more guys ahead of him. But
what about Demaryius Thomas at his best?
Oh yeah, Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas at his best, a better receiver than Antonio Brown.
Yeah, 200.
Does being the best wide receiver just include receiving yards, or else does it include touchdowns?
We're talking.
No.
Yeah, if we're talking numbers right now, obviously he's ranked one. But I'm talking just the best wide receiver in the NFL. I don't think he's the. I think if Demaryius Thomas is at his best.
Like if you had the. Yeah, if you had to pick a receiver to, like, start your team with, which receiver would it be? That's how I look at being the best.
Same.
I would probably go with Calvin Johnson.
I'd take a healthy Calvin, too.
Yeah.
Oh, any day.
Yeah, but you'd also have to have the quarterback to get it to him.
Oh, yeah. True. Which we have not. Well, yeah, but then you look at what the Lions
I disagree with that, because Calvin has...
I was just going to say, look what he did with Sean Hill.
And Sean, Calvin has never had, like, imagine what Calvin Johnson could do with Peyton Manning.
Or Aaron Rodgers.
It'd be terrifying.
Yeah.
I feel like he'd be better than Rodgers.
I feel like, I know people say that, but I feel like Peyton Manning would be too, he would want to spread, he would spread the ball more than just giving, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I do.
He doesn't have to.
but I feel like he would.
Yeah, he does. He takes the open look. He doesn't force passes. He throws it to Stafford. A lot of what Kelvin feeds off is forced triple coverage passes that Kelvin's really getting the ball.
He's got the Kelvin's got the height.
I think the scariest one would be Kelvin Johnson with Tom Brady if you just remember what he did with Randy Moss.
you just think of what
Tom Brady did with a Kelvin Johnson.
True. Yeah. But he had one. His name was Randy Moss.
Randy Moss was Randy
Moss.
Yeah, I know,
but
Kelvin's
imagine,
a different
yeah, but
player
you just,
than Randy.
You would have think that he would be able to do a little bit more with Kelvin Johnson, who's like Randy Moss and then some.
True. People, I mean, I know, I hate to quote this guy again, but Dave Damashek of the NFL.com says that Kelvin Johnson's the second best receiver of all time behind Jerry Rice.
Yeah.
I love that.
I don't think he's that far off.
Who else,
never been.
Who else,
how many times
have
been in the playoffs?
Who would you put it to? Well, one, but I don't think that's a receiver.
I think Terrell Owens, even though with his attitude problems and all that, he'd be there just because of how many receptions he got when he was with a good team like the Eagles or the Cowboys.
Terrell Owens?
Yes.
He was tied down.
I don't know.
I like Randy Moss more than Terrell Owens.
I hate both of them.
I would put Jerry Rice, Randy Moss.
Yeah, that's why I think Kelvin Johnson's right up there.
Yeah, I think he is too.
This is a new feature in wide receivers with the new height, where like the height in the wide receivers is giving them an advantage over the small cornerbacks. So the cornerbacks are really just trying to like let up.
Tell that Seattle, their corners aren't small.
A underrated guy that doesn't get a lot of credit, Marvin Harrison too.
You know who? He's a good receiver. You know who somebody
he would not be. I wouldn't put him in my top five.
You know somebody that I think he can break out and become one of the best receivers ever? This might be overdoing it. Dez Bryant. Dez Bryant has everything that it takes to be a receiver. I think he could be
Dez
one.
Yeah, Dez Bryant. We're talking best receivers. Is Dez Bryant better than Antonio Brown? I think
maybe,
close. I think it is close. I think Dez Bryant's a better receiver.
If we're talking numbers, I would put Antonio Brown, but that's because of his speed. I think that I would pick Dez Bryant over Antonio Brown any day of the week.
PG, Dez Bryant or Antonio Brown?
This is a tough decision. They're both like similar, but Dez Bryant I think is more like athletic wise, like jumping and height.
He's more of a complete receiver.
Yes.
Yeah, he is.
Antonio Brown's just speed and where he can break. If he uses a good move on a quarterback, he can break by him.
Run after the catch, yeah, definitely. All right, so let's move on from that. Our last buy or sell for the day is the Detroit Lions as an NFC North contender. Hanskin, you are a critic of the Detroit Lions, if I'm not mistaken. Are you buying or selling them?
I'm going to buy them as an NFC North contender. I'm going to sell them as an NFC contender.
Okay.
I think they have a chance to win that division because that division is just very even amongst the top. I think that all three of those teams have different like strengths and different weaknesses. And I think that race is going to come down to the final couple weeks of the season.
I picked the Lions to win this division. I picked the Packers. I say this every podcast because I want people to remember when this happens. But
I picked the Lions as a 6th seed going into the playoffs with a 10-6 record, and I think that could be right. I picked the Packers to win the division, and I think that'll happen. And I believe I did not have the Bears going to the playoffs.
I had the Saints, the Packers, and 49ers all missing, and I had the Panthers, Cardinals, and Lions in. Right now, that would be happening. So, I don't know. Don't hate to toot my own horn.
I haven't made my predictions yet for the playoffs, but I want to do this right now. The division winners. In the West, I'm going to go with a bold pick of the Arizona Cardinals. This is halfway through the season. If we were going off the start of the season, it would have obviously been the Seahawks or the 49ers. But right now, the Cardinals are just playing great ball.
Wait, what did you say? The Cardinals number one seed?
No, they're going to win the West.
Oh, okay.
And then the NFC South, it's obviously going to come down to near the end of the season. But right now, I think the Saints have the upper edge.
Really? I think it's Carolina.
I think that's Carolina's automatically now.
I think so.
I think the NFC South
the Saints.
Is whoever has the best defense, because everyone's defense in that is playing pathetic this year.
You got the Buccaneers defense, who the Buccaneers haven't shown anything with their new offensive weapon in Mike Evans.
Yeah, the Falcons.
The Buccaneers are just terrible.
He gave 38 points in the first half.
Oh my gosh.
Right, Joe Flacco was on pace to put up 16 touchdowns.
See, that never happens. The fun something that never happens because then he never threw another touchdown.
Did anyone notice?
Five touchdowns. Because he didn't need to. They were up 35-7.
So what?
Did you
because
know
they didn't throw the ball anymore? They're running
16 on the four bucks.
The Buccaneers have probably given up the two most points in this year. They've given up the most points to an opponent this year.
Yeah.
They're number one and number two.
They've had They've had the two ugliest performances I've seen in years out of an NFL football team.
Yeah.
It's been they were just awful.
I think it's the Panthers.
In the Falcons game and the Ravens game.
I think this is the Panthers division to win. These are my early season prediction to win the division. And Cam Newton's looking like he's becoming more healthy as week by week progresses. He finally had a big running game, over 100 yards and a touchdown run-wise. And he still wasn't running at full speed in the tie game against the Bengals, which I still can't stand.
Ties.
Oh, man.
Ties are terrible.
That's actually not bad, though. It's better than a loss, because in this NFC South division, you could win this division at 9-6-1 or whatever they're going to be. That's how I remember in 2008, that's when the Eagles won it, and they got to the NFC Championship game in that year when they tied the Bengals. The Bengals have tied
twice.
Don't
forget the 7-9 Seahawks.
Exactly.
They won a playoff game
against the Saints.
I feel like no one remembers.
You guys want to go on to the picks?
Yeah, hold on. I feel like no one remembers. I feel like no one remembers the game after that when they lost to the Bears.
I don't remember that.
do you remember watching a second of that game?
No,
because I don't remember that game at all.
How bad they lose?
I don't know.
What game was this?
The divisional round after the 7-9 Seahawks beat the Saints when they lost to the Bears.
Did that happen? I don't remember that.
That was the one Marshawn Lynch had that big run.
No, that was against the Saints.
Yeah, it was the game
Bears,
after.
It was Bears Seahawks, so it was after Marshawn Lynch's big run.
Yeah.
What did Jay Cutler do to beat the Seahawks?
Wasn't this at the time of Kyle Orton?
Jay Cutler win a playoff game.
Yeah, he won one, and then he.
Then he started riding a bicycle.
I want to use profanity here, but I'm not. He feces'd the bed in the NFC Championship game. That was the worst display of character I've ever seen in my life, and your franchise quarterback is standing on the sidelines watching your team trying to come back with Caleb Haney. I don't like Jay Cutler. And that just put it over the top for me.
He does not care.
What a scum. I'm just going to say it right now. What a scum.
Scum. All right,
to finish, I'm just going to go off this quick. NFC East, going off to almost halfway through, I'm going to say the Philadelphia Eagles. I think Cowboys are not going to keep up this pace. They are not. It's going to come down. Sooner or later, one of their offensive linemen are going to go down. Then the running game will go down. DeMarco Murray's yardage will go down.
You are so negative.
And then the defense is just going to have to pick up that slack for the
The Cowboys end the season 6-10.
Or 8-8.
These bold predictions.
The Cowboys
8-8.
The Cowboys have beaten people this year. Let me just put it out there. The Cowboys have beaten people this year.
Yeah, but it's due to their offensive line. They've stacked their offensive line. They have nothing on defense.
The Eagles haven't beaten anybody this year.
They beat the New York Giants.
They shut out the
Indianapolis
Giants.
Colts, who have won 4 in a row since that loss.
That's it.
Overrated.
All right, I'm sorry. They won the games that they should win. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, guys,
they would have lost to these bad teams.
You can only beat.
You
can only beat who you beat.
Games they shouldn't have won.
No, you can only beat who you play. I'm just saying.
Okay, so what? The Eagles haven't gotten an opportunity to play those teams, so we don't know. And they're playing, and they finally.
No, I'm excited. I think it's gonna be a close race. It's gonna be a close race.
Both teams
are good.
I think both teams are making the playoffs. Honestly, I mean, I don't think the.
I also think that. I agree.
I don't think this is a fluke. I think this is a consistent thing, and I don't think the NFC outside of this division is as good as everyone talked, including myself, talked it up to be this offseason. Just goes to show you never know in the NFL.
Yeah,
that's why you play the games.
True.
That's why you play the game. So we're going to move on to our...
Speaking of the games...
I haven't finished. NFC North, I'm going to have the...
Oh, yeah, right, the playoff prediction.
Yes. I have the Detroit Lions. And the wild card, I'm going to have the Carolina Panthers. And the Seattle Seahawks.
Dallas doesn't make it. Dallas doesn't make it.
PG's our cowboy hater.
How is Dallas not going to make it with a 5-1 record?
It's six games in. There's still injuries that could happen.
But you know, my only worry about the Cowboys, like as an Eagles fan, is their schedule's only going to get easier now because they've gotten rid of a lot of the.
They played all the hard teams.
They still get the Birds twice, so that'll be crucial in this division race. Really, it'll probably come.
It'll be exciting.
It'll
be good. That'd be good.
All right, PG, you want to finish? Was that it for your playoffs?
That was just the.
You gotta do his AFC.
Well, let's do his AFC because he wasn't on our pod when we did predictions.
Okay.
No, yeah, I'm excited. I'm interested.
AFC West, gotta go with the Broncos. They're gonna end up probably beating the Chargers in both games. Chargers will definitely make the wild card as a wild card team. They'll be the 5 seed. Mm-hmm. And then the South, it's really gonna come down to the Colts trying to win their games. Mm-hmm. And then,
do you think the South is actually competitive?
No, not once. Not one
the
bit.
The Jags are putting up a fight.
The Jaguars are 0-6.
No,
good. Okay, AFC East.
Impressive 0-6 for the Jaguars.
They finally put Bortles.
They're winning more games than we thought they would.
But they haven't won any. That's a joke. I just killed that. I'm leaving the show.
Yeah, we all give up on Blake Bortles already?
I was going to get a good chuckle out of our listeners.
Can we all give up on Blake Bortles already?
If we have any listeners after that terrible joke, I just did.
Oh.
I just trashed my... Okay.
Alright. AFC East, Patriots, the Bills are not going to catch up. The Dolphins are going to... They're going to probably lose most the rest of their games. They still got the Patriots once more. They're in the... Dolphins still have a tough schedule coming up with they got the Bears this week.
I think you should put more emphasis on the Bills instead of the Dolphins. I don't think the Dolphins have a chance.
What are you trying to say?
I don't think the Bills have the weapons on offense yet to make a playoff run.
I think their offense is their after last
That's
week
the
I think their
thing
offense
I'm
was their
the Bills.
Upside.
Besides defense, of course. I think their defense is scary.
Their defense is good.
Against the run.
Yeah, it's just the
secondary.
It's the offense.
The pass. I mean, did you see who scored against them last week? What was the guy's name?
Tims.
The thing is, with the Bills' defense, one domino falls in the secondary, and everyone falls. Just think about it. Aaron Williams went down
and
last week.
It's a disaster.
Week,
yep.
The secondary was pathetic.
Well, as interesting as the Bills are, I say we move on.
Wait, no,
I have to do my AFC North.
I keep forgetting because we keep stopping.
I'm
going to
make a
huge
prediction, and I'm going to go with the huge prediction will come with the wild card. I have the Bengals winning this.
Wait, who do you have winning the North?
The Bengals.
Okay.
I just said that! I have the Cleveland Browns making it as a 6th seed.
Who's the 5th seed?
Is it because their next three games are Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, and Oakland?
PG just made an ooh face for his own praise. He's like, ooh, he liked the sound of that.
Yeah, it's obvious that...
I mean, they're going to be 6-2. The Browns will be 6-2.
Yes.
They played Jacksonville this week.
Jacksonville?
Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, then Oakland.
Oh my god. That makes the schedule, man.
Well, no, when you are the 4th place team in your division, you do get an easier schedule.
Yeah, I know.
True.
That's why the Jets get screwed every year, because they're always the 2nd seed, even though they suck.
But that's except for the Raiders. They're one of the toughest schedules in the NFL this year.
They're one of the worst teams. Still.
Okay. We ready?
And then my Super Bowl pick?
Let's do some picks.
Super Bowl pick will be the San Diego Chargers.
Oh
my gosh.
They have their offense is getting good. I think they'll be getting hot near the end of the season at the right time.
They're hot now.
That's good. I just started laughing because of Lou's senior picture.
That's a good picture.
I didn't want to do that.
I can't see it. Oh, look at you.
You look like Joe a little bit.
What's up with the why do you look like you're doing like freeform jazz?
Listen, man.
That's a good picture. Screw you guys.
What the public wants. Alright, so
who wanted that?
My mom.
All right.
All right. Let's do the week 7 picks.
Okay, we're not gonna do all of them because
there's some of them are gonna be locks. Let's do Cleveland.
All right, fine. Hanson wants to do all of them, but before we do this, we're gonna kind of let's update our since PG just gave us Super Bowl predictions. Let's update our picks so people remember. Brenda, who is your Super Bowl pick?
No.
My Super Bowl pick was the Buffalo Bills, and I stand by it.
Hanson, what was your Super Bowl pick?
Was it Cincinnati?
It was the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh, God!
Because, like, one week was.
Cincinnati looks good, though.
Oh, also, behind the huddle, the team of Beyond the Huddle update. The Tennessee Titans will take on the Washington Redskins this week. Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst might be starting again, so this is a very interesting team. I think they're going to lose.
Why are we talking about
this? That's all I'm going to say. That's our Beyond the Huddle team of BTH update. So thank you, Hanson, for your week 1 overreactions. You have made this podcast miserable.
Can I make my new playoff picks?
Yes, I will give you a chance to redeem. Brendan and you can redeem yourselves if you want to off of your predictions week 1. Or do you stand by the Bills still, Brendan?
I stand by the Buffalo Bills. No one circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
I stand by the Bills. I just don't stand by Tennessee.
It's okay. We forgive you.
Tennessee.
Let's go, Buffalo.
So, are you going to... Okay. All right, yeah. Go ahead.
Like, I'm making my picks? My new picks?
No, you can just make your Super Bowl pick.
Redo it.
Okay. My new Super Bowl pick is going to be... I'm going to still stick with Cincinnati. I'm going to stick with Cincinnati.
Okay.
And coming out of the NFC, I'm going to go with Green Bay. Ooh. I think I really like what Rodgers has been looking. He's been looking real good. I think Green Bay will make the playoffs out of the North. And I think that they'll do another classic Green Bay Packers playoff run similar to their last Super Bowl victory.
I'm going to pick
Cincinnati to win the Super Bowl this year.
I agree with PG 100%. I think this Chargers team is built to beat the Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. I think that they're going to win the AFC. And coming out of the NFC, I mean, it's a really tough conference. I think the playoffs are going to be awesome, but... as of right now, with this Percy Harvin trade, I think that's a huge factor, and I had Seattle ended up in the Super Bowl. I'm going to take them out of it.
Who are you going to put in?
I don't want to lose my credibility here. I want to keep my opinionated, unbiased.
Pick your boys.
I want to pick my own bias, but this is a team that I feel like is going to do it. And with the teams that are going to be in the NFC this year, I think they match up well against.
Go.
I'm sorry, but I'm going the Philadelphia Eagles against the San Diego Chargers. Super Bowl prediction, who wins? I'm not going to disclose that yet.
Ooh!
He doesn't want to say Philly's winning the Super Bowl. He doesn't want to jinx it.
I'll go San Diego Chargers.
What? The Buffalo Bills are going to win the Super Bowl.
Why would you give yourself that heartbreak?
Two Chargers? Two people
like,
pick the Chargers
watching you, like,
Super Bowl
eat, like,
in one
chips
basement?
And, like, sadness?
Jordan Hanson witnessed my demise after the Eagles Saints playoff loss, where I engorged myself
nachos.
With nachos
in the dark
by myself. So that's my.
All theory. I heard was.
Listen, good sir, I do not need you questioning my nachos.
I'm taking a real big poop.
What?
Come on, PG.
Come on. All right, so
okay, poop breath.
Brendan, your turn.
Okay.
I gotta cut that part
out. My turn for what?
Yeah,
Super
please.
Bowl. I already picked my Super Bowl.
Oh yeah. I gave you an opportunity to redeem yourself, and you idiotically denied my.
Who did I pick them over though? I don't remember that.
I don't know. You go ahead and choose.
I think I might have picked them over. I think I might have picked them over the Green Bay Packers.
Green Bay Packers. All right. I don't know if anybody could hear you. So let's move on.
Green Bay Packers.
Let's move on.
Week 7 game picks, except for the unanimous ones. Are we unanimous that the Redskins will beat Tennessee?
Agreed. Are we unanimous that the Seahawks will beat the Rams?
I got Austin Davis.
The obvious one is probably the Browns over the Jaguars.
Why are the Browns ever an automatic pick?
Let's do this in an orderly fashion. Browns, Jaguars, anonymous. Agreed.
Yes.
Yes, but I don't think that's
okay.
Obvious.
Unanimous.
We don't just say
unanimous.
You don't need. Okay. Are we unanimous that the Cardinals are beating the Raiders?
Unanimous.
Yes.
Cardinals are beating.
Are we?
Derek Carr.
James Jones.
No, yeah.
Are we unanimous that the Buffalo Bills are beating the Minnesota Vikings?
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think so. Well, I'm not. So there you go.
I'm taking my boy.
Wow. It's Teddy time.
I think it's Teddy time too. Teddy
time. That's absurd.
Take two of these and talk to me in the morning.
Okay, you just got sacked 8 times by who? Who did he get sacked 8 times by? The Lions?
The number one rushing.
I'm excited to see what Mario Williams, Kyle Williams, Darius, and Jerry Hughes do to that line.
Why are you acting like the Bills are superior in the Lions? The Lions have the best pass rush in the NFL.
The Bills lost that Lions game.
The Bills had the most sacks in the league last year, I believe. Oh, no, Carolina did. Bills were, what, second last year? The Bills' D-line is just as formidable.
It is, but...
The Bills lost to the Lions this year. They just have a win on their on the win column for some reason. Alex Henry... Like, gave us the
you
win.
You know why? It's because of Kyle Orton.
If the Bills win the Super Bowl, we should give Alex
Henry. Kyle Orton, and I cut Alex my hair Henry. Because I became a new starting quarterback.
All right, so...
PG's already too comfortable here.
That's all right. We're a podcast of many characters. We support it.
I haven't done one of these.
Bengals Colts will go around. Starting with you, Jordan Hanskin.
Bengals win this game because the Colts are not as good as everyone says they are.
I've got Andrew Luck Colts. Winning that football game.
Okay, PG.
I'm going to have to go to the Colts only because I don't think Andy Dalton's Mohamed Sanu tandem is not very good as well as the AJ Green Andy Dalton combo. Okay. But I think Andy's
going to win. I'm picking the Bengals because of Bernard, though, not because of Sanu.
Well, no, because the...
Well, maybe
I'm taking him
because of Mike Nugent, so...
Nugent.
No, but I'm agreeing with... I'm going to agree, and I'm going to take the Colts, so it's 3-1.
Awesome.
Panthers, Packers, Brennan.
Panthers, Packers. I got the Packers.
PG.
I'm gonna go Super Cam.
Hanskin.
I'm gonna go for a tie here. Panthers are gonna get their second tie of the year.
Oh my god, what the heck?
Are you kidding? If this happens, I'll give you $1,000, sir.
All right, Hanskin took the Packers, and I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, when are you going to give them that $1,000?
The Carolina Packers are a team that I really like, and I think they're going to get it going. I think they're going to make a statement here. Ravens-Falcons, I'm going to go Ravens, PG.
I'm going to go Falcons on the upset here, only because the Falcons have a good passing offense, and what the Bengals did on the road against... Baltimore week one, I think that will have an effect on what Atlanta does this week.
Brendan. I'll agree with PG with the upset.
Hanskin.
I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think Flacco's playing his best football since the playoff run that they had earlier.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the Ravens by 10 as well.
Okay. Bills, Vikings, we two went PG and me went Vikings. Brendan and Hanskin went Bills. Dolphins, Chicago Bears. Brendan.
I'll go with the Bears.
PG.
Da Bears.
Hanskin.
Bears.
Okay, and I'm taking the Chicago Bears as well, so that was an anonymous one. But it was kind of a good matchup, so
yeah.
They looked pretty good against Green Bay last week in Miami. So, Saints-Lions. Hey, Brennan.
Saints-Lions. I'll go with the Saints.
Hanskin.
I'm going to go with the Lions here.
PG.
I'm going to go with the Lions, only because Matt Stafford, Golden Tate are gaining chemistry. The Saints' secondary isn't all that great.
I think it's time for the Saints to make a statement. I'm going to give the Saints the win. Chargers, Kansas City Chiefs, PG.
The Chargers.
Hanskin.
I think the Chiefs keep it close. I'm going to go with the Chargers, though, by 3.
Brennan. I think this will be a very good game, and I think the Chiefs will pull this out on a huge upset.
Okay, and I'm going to go Chargers, who are my new Super Bowl pick. Sorry, Saints. Giants, Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go the Dallas Cowboys as much as I need this to be a Giants win. PG.
Going to go Cowboys. Victor Cruz out. Rashad Jennings out. They're losing their offense left and right. Cowboys.
All right, Hanscom, what do you think?
Cowboys by 28.
Okay, ooh. big one there. Brennan, what do you think?
Cowboys by 29.
Oh.
Oh. Weird numbers.
Cowboys by 28 and one penny.
Okay, so anonymous vote for the Cardinals over Raiders. San Francisco 49ers versus the Denver Broncos. PG.
Manning setting the passing record. Gonna draw a large crowd. Gonna make the stadium loud. 49ers haven't played in large crowds lately. The new Levi's Stadium hasn't been all that packed.
That was a little bit of a rhyme there. I like that.
Yeah.
Broncos,
Peyton Manning sets the record.
Brennan.
I mean, I'll take the Broncos.
Hanskin.
I'm going to take the Broncos. I think Peyton doesn't get the record, though. I think he ties it. What? He only has two touchdowns this weekend.
All right, and then I guess
I'd say they win 21-17.
I guess I'm going to be the lone wolf and take the San Francisco 49ers. Okay, Steelers, Texans. Hanskin, what do you think?
Monday Night Football.
Oh, gosh. I don't like either of these teams. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh at home because I think they need it more.
Brennan.
I'll take the Texans after that horrible showing by the by Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers.
PG.
Scott, definitely a very close game. Going to be one of the more entertaining Monday night games this year. Going to have to go with the Steelers and the terrible towel in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and last thing before we go, Brennan, what did you learn today? What did you learn today?
Today I learned that not all people are as good as I thought they were.
PG, what do you mean?
What did you learn?
I learned that Lou is very good at posing for pictures.
Okay, thank you. I like that. Hanson, what'd you learn?
I learned that the Tennessee Titans aren't very good.
All right, and I learned that
they're the laughing stock of the league.
All right, and I learned that the red berries on a red oak make pink lemonade. So that's going to do it for today's Beyond the Huddle podcast.
What?
Thanks for joining us.
Is that true?
Wait, I forgot. All right. Here on the Beyond the Huddle podcast, we're going to segue right now to our exclusive interview with newly signed Eagles offensive guard Julian Vandervelde. Me, Hanskin, Brendan, and Dave sit around, talk with Julian Vandervelde about the new Eagles offensive guard and what this team's going to do. So let's kick it over to there.
All right, so we'll start it now. So first off, how does it feel to be back with the Philadelphia Eagles?
Well, it feels great. I mean, this is really where I was hoping that I would wind up. We knew it was kind of a toss-up. You know, you get in a situation like this where you've been released, you can't really know at any point in time where you're going to be or what's going to, you know, happen. A lot of it was dependent on the rehab, but I was really fortunate to be able to stay here in Philadelphia for the rehab process, and you know, I feel really, really blessed to be back with the team.
How did the rehab go? I mean, what did you do a lot during your time off with the team?
Back injuries generally tend to do a lot of stabilization, a lot of core stabilization, and abdominal strengthening. So just a lot of that. You know, we got a little bit more football intensive towards the end. Trying to do things that were a little bit more related to actually playing football, since we figured that's what we were going to get back into pretty soon. But it was, you know, it was pretty normal stuff. A lot of stretching, a lot of random exercises that I don't think you would ever do in any normal daily workout.
Okay, we got another guy, if you don't mind, to ask you a quick question. Hanskin, are you there?
Yeah, I am. Thanks for being on, and congratulations on making back to the NFL, first of all.
Thank you.
And my question is just on the Eagles as a whole, with just mainly about Nick Foles as a quarterback. What qualities do you think Nick possesses that make him a Super Bowl quarterback?
Well, I think Nick's a great leader. The one thing that you really look for in your quarterback is leadership. You know, well, we talk about how it's, you know, you got 11 guys on the field at any one time, and it's very true that no one man makes a team. But at the same time, you know, there's a very good reason that quarterbacks tend to go early in drafts, why oftentimes, you know, the top 10 or the first round is chock full of quarterbacks. because of that leadership quality. You know, they're the one person who touches the ball on every play, aside from the center. So for Nick, he's very calm, he's very composed, he's very intelligent, extremely hard worker, meticulous in his details, and he is a great leader. You get on the field, and nothing rattles him, and he's just very consistent. I think that those are really the qualities that more than anything, more than, you know, a good 40 time the huge arm to throw those home run balls, the leadership, the consistency, the willingness to work hard that he has, is really what kind of, you know, puts him in that upper echelon, I think.
Okay, and one other question. What do you, first off, obviously it's tough not being with the team for a couple weeks. How was it watching? Because I mean, I heard you with Dave Spadaro yesterday. Well, honestly, what was it like watching the game from a fan's perspective compared to being with the guys on the sideline?
It was stressful. I've kind of gotten a little bit more used to that perspective, being out of college and watching my Iowa Hawkeyes play. They have a great talent for these heart attack games, you know, for games that come down to the final drive or down to the wire, you know, close games that some of them shouldn't be close one way or the other, and then they're always right in the thick of it. So for me being a fan, having to watch for a while and kind of, you know, study from my couch, it was educational, I think, more than anything else. The stress was there, but at the same time, you know, football is what I do, it's what I love. So for me, watching a game, whether it's an Eagles game or a college game or any other game, I'm always kind of dissecting teams, offenses and defenses, trying to figure out schemes and work with, you know, see what that team is working with, and ways that you could defend something, or ways that you could defeat a defense. So it was almost a time for me to grow mentally, having to watch these games, not just being in one system, but kind of studying multiple systems. So that's about as good of an explanation as I can give on that.
Oh, yeah, that's a great explanation. But this team is 5-1 right now. They're tied for first in the NFC East with the Dallas Cowboys. Not a lot of people, I mean, you can always say that the NFL is a very unpredictable league, but not a lot of people predicted the NFC East to be this competitive. A lot of people are saying that the Eagles have had a strength of schedule. They've gotten away with a lot of with some lucky plays. But honestly, this team is, I mean, a yard away from being 6-0 against the 49ers. But you can go the other way and say this team is could easily be 1-4. 1-5, I'm sorry. So what do you say to the people that honestly really criticize this team? And do you believe that this team has what the personnel right now to take it to the next level and get to the Super Bowl?
Well, absolutely. I don't think, you know, when you look at the NFL, you look at the general talent pool, to get to the NFL, to make it into an NFL camp takes a certain level of talent and skill, and then you get, you know, you compile the best 53 guys onto a team. There are no slouches in the NFL. Every now and then you'll get a blowout game. Most games are decided by a score or two. You know, it's something like, on average, 4 to 6 games for every team in the NFL is decided by a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
So just to be 5-1 is great at this point. And you're right, it could just as easily be 1-5, but you could say that of a number of teams.
Right.
The team that's going to win the Super Bowl isn't the team that starts hot, it's the team that finishes hot. It's not the team that's the best at the beginning, but you have to be able to play the close games. You gotta be a complete team, have the offense, defense, and special team. You know, if one phase is lacking, then games are going to be closer than maybe they feel like they should. And I think that's kind of what fans are seeing. But I think that you look at the personnel that we have, you look at the coaching staff, you look at the mentality of the team, the attitude, and the way that the offense has progressed from week to week, struggling at first, so many injuries up front on the offensive line, and now starting to pick up some speed again. You know, the defense and special teams are excelling right now, and towards the end of the season, we're going to see this team come together as a complete, cohesive unit. And I really think that that when all the pieces fall into place, it's going to be really, really impressive what this team is able to do at the end of the season and into the playoffs.
I really hope so. That's a really good point. What do you think is different? I mean, you were with the squad last year as well, with Chip Kelly in his first year. What's different not only about Chip Kelly, but what's different about this team compared to last year's team that really won the division and really opened up some eyes with some unexpected play throughout the season?
Well, I think it's, there's a level of comfort and a level of confidence that comes with being in a system for a longer period of time. You know, we're in a day and age now where, you know, coaches get 1 year sometimes and they're done. And I think that's ridiculous. Any system, any scheme takes time to take hold. You know, players need time in a system, coaches need time with players. And, you know, we're very fortunate to be in a place where our ownership in Jeffrey Lurie is very committed to the betterment of the team, and he sees long-term, and so do Chip, and so does Howie Roseman. You know, the entire structure of this team is built right now, I think, for long-term success. So while last year, you know, it seemed like things were a little sketchy at first, and the comfort kind of grew with the team, this year there's a much greater level of comfort in all areas. And with comfort comes greater execution. With greater execution comes greater confidence. And that's where you see a team like the Eagles this year, who maybe don't have all the pieces in place right now, but are still winning games because everyone has confidence in everyone else. Everyone's playing hard, playing for the man next to them. And that general cohesiveness shows you that the team is really greater than any individual who would happen to go down during the season.
I mean, it's been really, I mean, I agree, and I think that it's been really great how these young offensive linemen have really faced adversity with Jason Kelce going down and Evan Mathis and even Lane Johnson being suspended for the first four games. What are you going to bring to this young offensive line core to help them come along and really just keep playing, improving the way they have? I mean, they didn't let up any sacks against the Giants, and keep improving as Jason Kelce and Evan Mathis get healthier.
Well, I'm hoping I'll be able to bring a couple of things. Leadership for one. I've known a lot of these guys for a long time. David Mulk and I played at the same time in college, so I'm kind of you know, a little familiar with him from watching him on film and playing against Michigan. I know I can bring a lot of versatility. I was a guard for my entire college career, flipping every year from left to right. I've been a center for about the last 2 years, so I'm comfortable with all three positions. You know, but really right now it's just a matter of me trying to get myself ready to do whatever the team asks of me. I don't know if you know, I'll be needed on special teams. I don't know if they'll need me to step up and fill a role. If God forbid something happens to the offensive line that hasn't already happened, I don't know what could, you know, possibly get much worse.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of injuries and whatnot. But I think that there should be a level of leadership and comfort that comes with me being back, seeing as I was in the system when it started. You know, David Moulton new this year, but he picks things up very quickly. He's an incredibly intelligent, very explosive guy. And when you have two eyes on the field from that center position looking at the same thing, probably me from the sidelines and him on the field, you can communicate, you can make adjustments much quicker. And I think that between us and Jeff Stoutland, who has done a spectacular job with this offensive line, I think that we'll be able to scheme up some really impressive things that will make it harder for teams to defend our offense.
That's great. And, I mean, everything. I mean, we really hope you guys can spring together a great run in the end. Thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it. And good luck throughout the year, really. It's been great so far, and we really look forward to seeing you out there with the Eagles.
Thanks. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Yep.
Bye-bye. All right, so it was a really good talk with Julian Vandervelde. Really hope that he can thrive in that system. Really nice person to talk to. So we're gonna we thank you, Julian Vandervelde, for being on our show.
We'll get to talk to you.
Yeah, PG did not get to talk to Julian Vandervelde. But I thought a lot of stuff of what he said was
really good to get an inside scoop of really how Chip Kelly runs that team. And a great point he made was that Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie and Chip Kelly really built this team to go make deep runs. And he's saying that this team is getting hot right now. And the great point about how winning games, great teams find ways to win. So I thought it was a really great perspective to get on this podcast. So we hope you liked it. And again, thanks for joining us here on the Beyond the Huddle podcast. Make sure to check us out on iTunes. Just type in Beyond the Huddle. You'll see Brennan's beautiful face. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at DB Sports Talk Hanskin. Follow him at jhanskin57. PG, can anybody reach you on Twitter?
You can. PGavigan4488.
And Brendan's is at None Your Business, so that's going to do it. Thanks for joining us. Boys, we'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah!